had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been
she doesn't pass. She's mildly brain damaged, you know?
Oh. Well, you'll have a chance. Life's full of tough challenges, isn't it? And there is one more thing. We haven't discussed the subject of you killing me.
But she couldn't
have. If you've done that to anyone else, they might have devoted their existence to exacting revenge. Luckily.
I wish we could play the rest of that, but we are rapidly running out of time. Anyway, if you want to get your own copy of Portal 2, the cast album, it's available on Bandcamp, and there's a link to it on the Dave Radio Facebook page. And that's our show. Thanks a lot for spending your lunch hour with us. We have a special shout out to Paulette Cameron and Vic Bondaroff, the photographer and graphic artist who made the logo that adorns our podcast on iTunes. That's right, kids. Dave Radio is now on iTunes. Type CITR-Dave Radio in the search box, and you can relive your favorite moments from past shows. And a big thanks to all of you who contributed to this year's fund drive. We came oh so close to reaching our goal, but it's not too late. The Donate Now page is still open at CITR.ca. Every dollar you give brings us that much closer to making your online and digital experience with CITR the very best experience possible. Eleanor and Erica are next with Femme Concept, and don't forget Napkin Boy at 3:30 with Nardwar the Human Serviette Presents. Dave Radio returns next Friday at this same time. Bye-bye.
When I think about Francophonie, I think about diversity. Why diversity? I think it comes from my personal experience first, because I've been living in Switzerland, France, Canada. So I have sort of an overview of different French cultures within these countries. And my passion is really to create links between all the people, everything. That's why I started working for the Source newspaper. At first I was in Montreal, so I was writing from Montreal for the Source newspaper here in Vancouver. So we created sort of a bridge between the two, because at the Source we have two sections, one in English, one in French, the bilingual newspaper. And I'm very interested about the dynamic that it creates, having these two teams, these two approaches on topics sometimes. So this is one thing. And the other thing is the Source newspaper has a tagline, which is Forum of Diversity. So why we picked diversity, we think it is all about differences between people. And there's so many differences, like we can be role, gender, cultural, of course, background. And this is very fertile ground. It's all about the living experience of differences. It generates questions, sometimes debates, and even conflicts. But we think all these conflicts, for example, is positive. We should talk about it. This is what makes our society much more interesting. Whereas multiculturalism is more a political process, from our opinion. So it tends to actually put people in ethnic boxes. It creates tags. And we think like putting people in boxes can be a political thing, like to manage the differences. But it tends to forget about all the real questions within one group, let's say within one culture, let's say within the French, that we tend to put the tag French community here. There's so many variants, so many differences, and so many different approaches that's what we're interested to talk about. So yeah, my name is Gary. I'm the editor-in-chief of the French section of The Source. Please join us for the Rendezvous de la Francophonie from March 6th to 22nd. And if you want more information, you can visit rvf.ca.
Have you imagined yourself working in the field on development and diplomatic issues? Canada's United Nations Association provides international development and diplomacy internships, which are self-funded, six-month deployments providing successful applicants with invaluable work experience. The internships are a proven bridge to employment, with over 94% of interns finding related work within 3 months of completing. We provide professional support before, during, and after your deployment. Are you flexible, adaptable, comfortable in challenging situations? Ready to be part of building a better world? Apply today. Visit www.unac.org for more details. Applications will be accepted until March 16th. That's www.unac.org.
Please remember to watch your language.
Look, I can't speak without swearing, and I haven't had a cigarette since I've been arrested, and I'm ready to f***ing snap. So I'd like to make a request under the People's Freedom of Choices and Voices Act that I be able to smoke and swear in your courtroom. Because if I can't smoke and swear, I'm f***ed.
The following programming may contain content that some listeners find offensive. If you are sensitive to foul language or explicit content, please turn your radio the f*** off now.
Around. Good afternoon, everybody. You are tuned in now to Femme Concept here on 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver, broadcasting from the University of British Columbia. My name is Eleanor.
My name is Erica.
And the track that we started things off with today was a song called Cool Slut by the band Chastity Belt off of their album, which is about to come out on Hardly Art, called Time to Go Home. You can stream it right now on NPR, and I would highly, highly, highly recommend that you go do that.
As would I.
Yes. It is really, really awesome. They're from Seattle. They're going to be here on April 11th, and the album is so good. I just
did not know that.
Yeah,
pretty
Erica's
stoked.
Really excited. Yeah, that just got announced, and it's really exciting. It's four ladies, and a couple of them are members of other bands. What's the other one called? Childbirth. And yeah, just the songs are really good, and they seem like they have a lot of fun with the music that they make, but they also talk about relevant things. And I feel like that song we opened with especially just really. Just, yes.
Being a cool
waiting
slut.
For somebody owning to make that song for
language
a really
reclamation.
Long time. Yes, so good. So that's awesome. We got a good show today. Very exciting. We have a guest in the studio. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Chenille Anthony Hale, and I'm one of the AMS presidential candidates.
Yeah. So, as many of you may know, the AMS elections are running right now, and the voting closes at 5 o'clock today. So if you haven't voted, do it right now. No excuses. I would wager that it took me 5 minutes max to do it online. It's so easy. And if you think that it doesn't matter, I think that you're wrong. And I would love to explain to you why.
Democracy.
But maybe, you know.
If you really enjoy democracy, you might as well start practicing it.
Yeah, I think Chenille will be able to speak to this a little bit better, but I think a lot of students are not aware of all of the different things that the AMS actually does mm-hmm. do for the student body.
And how much that affects your experience as a student at
exactly.
this university.
Yeah. So we invited Chenille on the show to talk about lots of stuff.
Lots of different things. Chenille, so as you said, today is the last day to vote, ends at 5 o'clock. We wanted to just kind of get a rundown on your platform for those slackers who have not voted yet, and if you could just kind of give your situation and what you're looking for to change for the AMS.
Yeah, totally. So my platform is a 6-point platform, even though there are so many different things that need to be changed at this university and with the AMS, but unfortunately I can only choose 6 because more than that is just ridiculous.
Well, we all want to change the world, so
exactly.
Gotta pick a few.
Yeah, so one of my things is I want to get students in UBC housing legal protection, because right now students are not protected under the BC Tenancy Act, which means, among other things, they can be kicked out with no notice, mm-hmm. they can be transferred residences with no notice and be forced to pay higher fees. There's been a whole bunch of instances where complaints about sanitation and safety in residences have been, you know, not looked at until they got really serious. Like, for example, there was an elevator in Ponderosa that had to free fall for them to actually do anything about it.
Yeah. Yikes.
So that's one of them. Another one is getting students greater control over our fees and university spending. Right now, we pay about 37% of the university's revenue, but only have 14% of the vote on how that money is spent and on whether or not our fees are raised.
What?
Which is why, when we went to Quorum
yep.
recently to protest the tuition raises for international students and housing fee raises, it went through anyway, because we only have 14% of the vote as students, so it doesn't
yeah.
even matter.
But it will.
It will. So what I want to do is, I think if we pay 37% of the university's revenue, we should have 37% of the vote.
Absolutely.
And
direct democracy.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And that just makes sense. I mean, like, even if you're not, like, democracy, if you're just, like, a capitalist or whatever, you're just,
yeah.
like, shareholder, pretty much. oh, yeah. So how I'm going to do that is, like, push for more seats on the Board of Governors, which is the...
Student seats.
More student seats on the Board of Governors.
Cool.
So both those first points have to do with lobbying the provincial government, because the provincial government basically controls everything that has to do with our university.
Of course, yeah.
Other points include continuing the governance review that Tanner Boker has started with his administration to make the AMS more effective and responsive to the needs of Clubton students, and that includes increasing environmental sustainability by hopefully transferring AMS sustainability from under the VP Finances portfolio to the executive director or VP admin, so that they can more easily affect like all the clubs or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also want to help create a resource center run for and by students with disabilities. I think this is really important because right now we don't do a really good job of making university very accessible. We've got access and diversity, but they really just deal with academic concessions, and I don't think that's enough, because that doesn't really help create a strong community, and that doesn't give them resources that they can use to create initiatives and outreach and awareness and other programs that they think would actually make this university much more inclusive, safe, and accessible for their community. So I think creating a resource center would just, like, it would really help solve a lot of those problems, and I would just be helping continue the efforts of students with disabilities who've already been trying to do this. And my last point would be increasing sexual assault training for residence advisors, because right now they get about 30 minutes is what I've been told, and
that's scary.
Yeah, and seen as residence advisors are generally the first point of contact for most survivors of sexual assault, I think they should get more, and I've spoken to professionals at sexual assault counseling, as well as residence advisors who have taken additional training, and residence counselors, and they've been like, yeah, the training that I'm advocating for, which is called anti-violence ally train, they think it'd be a good addition. But I'd also like to acknowledge that all the residence advisors do in fact get some sort of training, whereas house presidents don't get any. Club executives don't get any. AMS council members don't get any. So there's a whole bunch of different authority figures on campus which should probably be trained in some way or form, in terms of, like, you know, anti-sexual assault or, like,
safe spaces,
anti-oppression, all that stuff.
Totally.
But they're not, so that's probably something that needs to be looked into. But yeah, that's basically my platform.
Cool. That's really exciting. So how did you, like, end up getting all these kind of narrowed down to those six? Were they kind of personal experiences that you had that made you think that those were the ones that were the most important to you? Or did you just kind of observe and do your research and see what was most important?
So some of them were through observation. Like the Resource Center for Students with Disabilities is something that I had thought of previously, because I didn't think that, because like it didn't seem like there was really anything for students with disabilities on campus before when I was aware. I did a whole bunch of research, and I tracked down some people who were actually doing a lot of work in this area, and I talked to the students, and they're like, okay, so
totally,
because I don't want to speak over anyone. But then other points were basically me just doing a whole bunch of research, and then someone like mentioned something, and I was just like, oh
cool,
that's actually really important. Maybe I should do even more research into that.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Actually, recently I learned about a Facebook group called UBC Needs Disability Support.
I was just added to that too.
Were you? Cool. Yeah. Okay. And that whole initiative to get that going, like, I'm even thinking about how the sub is situated, like the actual architecture of the sub.
It's really there poor. Are
this is I'm talking about obviously visible disabilities, but yeah, it's incredibly poor. Like, it's quite challenging to even get into the building. So, like, even just, like, what that actually means on a grander scale.
And it seems like it's so often not a part of the conversation, right? Like, a lot of people don't spend time thinking about that situation and what it might be like, right? So just even getting it on the table is really important, which it seems getting like what you think.
People to speak for themselves as well.
Exactly, because I don't want to be saying, oh, look at me, I'm so great, I thought of this idea all by myself.
Because
there are people who have been working on this for years, and they've been doing a lot of the work, and I just kind of came along and was like, hey, I'm running for AMS president, so if you want someone who will, like, amplify this issue, then, like, I'd be more than willing to help in any way I can, if you want my help.
Absolutely. And I also think, like, your initiative to get more advanced and more, I guess, advanced would be the thing for sexual assault training is just, like, paramount. Like, that's just essential, especially considering, like, I mean, though, like, last year was a pretty, like, big year at UBC in regard to sexual assault going on just on campus in general. I mean, I know that it was just more in the forefront. I'm sure it happens many more times than that, but I think it'll be really cool to get that training furthered, and therefore students more likely to even report it, right? You know, so
yeah, but unfortunately it seems to be quite controversial.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of hate over this point, a lot of hate, and especially from women. It's been mostly women.
Really?
Yeah, I've had like about 6 women come up to me. I've had no men come up to me face like mm-hmm. to my face. I've heard of people mm-hmm. saying stuff behind my back, but
wow.
Like, I've been presenting in classrooms and stuff like that, and I'd, like, get to my point about increasing sexual assault training, and then there'd be some lady who would stand up in the back of the class and be like, actually, resident supervisors, we already get sexual assault training. And I'd be like, yeah, but I'm pushing for increased sexual assault training. And
right.
So it's just, it's quite interesting. I find that women, especially because 1 in 4 women in their lifetime will be sexually assaulted.
Yeah, absolutely.
That it would be women who would be so against the extra training. It just doesn't really make sense to me. And just so viciously against it, too. Like,
there's some kind of idea to, if we don't talk about it, it doesn't exist. Whereas, it's obviously, is 100% not the case. But if, like,
exactly.
this won't happen to me, if we don't talk about it, it's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen to my friend. It's not going to happen to people on my floor or whatever it is, where, in fact, university is a very... the community in which it's happening, you know, tenfold, I guess I would say, but...
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and yeah. I think it also has to do with a lot of girl-on-girl hate.
Yeah, that's very true, and what actually, like, defines sexual assault, too, and then it gets all complicated in there, and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, kind of extending from that, as you said, like, you've gotten some intense hate.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to speak a little further to your kind of experience running for president and how that's been going and what you've learned and what you've encountered?
So this experience has been extremely interesting. Being on the outside, you don't really notice a lot of the stuff that goes on the inside.
Totally.
But a few things that I've noticed, for example, is that there's still quite a bit of subtle sexism, I would say.
Yeah.
I think there's still subtle racism too and other discriminatory stuff, but like I've noticed the sexism mostly. Because unfortunately, there's not a lot of women of color or mm-hmm. persons of color running.
Yeah.
Well, there are
a few, yeah.
But I haven't been reading the media comments on them as much.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, Veronica Knott, she's probably the most competent of all of the candidates running for any of the positions. She's been on over 30 committees. She is the president of the Engineering Undergraduate Society. She chaired, I think, the Women in Engineering Conference. She's done a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She's got nothing wrong with her platform, like, absolutely nothing. She's, like, you can't... She's beyond reproach. But, of course, the media still finds something to say about her. They call her
such
abrasive.
Yeah.
And you'd never hear them say that about a guy. Like,
yeah.
you never hear them say, that guy's just really abrasive. I don't really know if we want to...
Yeah.
It's
so funny. Or abrasiveness would be kind of translated into like, oh, he's assertive.
Right.
Therefore, he knows what's up and
right.
he's got a good, you know, he's a good person to rely on for a leadership position.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So even if a woman is like perfect, she's still not.
Yeah.
Something.
There's still room to criticize.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
And then so then I'll talk about my experience too. So I'm running against basically just one serious candidate. And he is a white male, and he's very popular, but his platform has a lot of issues, I think. It doesn't deal with any of the real issues on campus, and yeah. So the media, what I've seen from them is that, for example, I saw one comment saying that we would take Chenille more seriously if she had addressed something about the university's finances in her campaign platform. And the interesting thing is, my opponent does not address anything about the university's finances in his platform.
Interesting.
And on top of that, during the debates, I have pointed out a few of his points are financially irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
One of his points is expanding Bloc Party in homage to the AFC. Before it was, he wanted to reestablish ACF, Arts Country Fair.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's in homage because I pointed out that it was financially irresponsible. And
right.
the reason they shut it down was because it drew up so much debt. But in 2010, the reason they scaled back the Bloc Party was because it drew up, I think it was like $103,000 of debt for the AMS.
For one party?
Exactly. And this is a party
we
that...
We went to those. Oh, God.
And this is a party that not everyone can go to because either they can't afford the $30 to get in, they, like, you know, don't feel comfortable. That's not because, like, you know, maybe of the racist headdresses that have been there before, or maybe it's just not their scene.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, block party... It really only gets, like, 5,000 people. That's, like, a tenth.
It caters to a certain, like, party, like...
Woo. A certain proportion of the population.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I find this, like, why would you have a platform point that only caters to a certain portion of the population and that has drawn up debt in the past?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really see... It, yeah, I guess just going back, it's just... It's been interesting watching how, like, the media has... Some media has been extremely vicious. Like, some media has, like, vendetta against me. I don't even know why. They don't even make sense. They don't even have good spelling. and then others are, like, they're just... It was just... It's just, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just, like, my opponent is beyond criticism. Like, no one will actually criticize him openly.
Mm-hmm.
When I think I'm a blog kind of criticized him.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. But mostly it's been, like... Just targeting me, and it's, like, it's
but
not...
But the more you can, like, speak up for that, and the fact, and defend your platform, and defend where you're coming from, I think, if anything, that strengthens your platform, like, tenfold, right? Like, I think that's...
Exactly.
So, props
just,
to you.
Well, thank you. But it just depends if people listen, right?
Very true.
Yeah.
And I find that oftentimes people just don't listen,
mm-hmm.
or they try to find something about you to hate because they've got this preconception about you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot.
That was a lot.
Some heavy stuff.
But,
yeah.
you know, it's, it, I think a lot of people, and I mean, I even feel like this was my attitude maybe in the first few years of school, which was like, I don't know how relevant I feel like the AMS elections are. I also didn't know that much about it, but the thing that I've come to realize is that I think this is a lot of people's first experience with voting and democracy and, like, platforms and anything like that, and I think it really shaped can have the potential to shape the way university students go out into the world after and interact with voting systems and democracy.
It's a good way to just, like, get your foot in the door.
Right. So if these attitudes are ones that are being presented now or, like, things that are okay, you know, like calling a candidate abrasive or using language about one candidate that you would never use about another, you know, it's like the more that that happens, the more it just gets embedded in people's ideas about the way elections work.
Period.
And then they won't question it and they won't challenge it when it starts to be, you know, your prime minister or your premier or your mayor, right?
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Long story short, I think it's very important.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, talking break for the people listening, and then we'll be back to chat a little bit more with Chenille. So we're going to listen to the track The Bells by Lowell, and she is a artist from Toronto, and this is off of her album, We Loved Her Dearly.
Would you give me a beat?
Kind of cool.
Hello, hello. You are listening to Femme Concept on CITR 101.9 FM on Vancouver University of British Columbia campus. Today, Eleanor and I are joined by Chenille Anthony-Hale, who is running for the president for the AMS elections, which close today at 5 p.m., takes 5 minutes to vote. Totally encourage that you do that as a Democratic citizen, a part of this university. To go on why this show is called Femme Concept and what Eleanor and I do here, we play 100% FemCon. We are the only show on this station that does that. And FemCon, two of four categories have to be fulfilled in order for it to be FemCon. So the music has to be written by a female, the lyrics have to be written by a female, has to be produced by a female, or a female performs in the band. And we think that these things are very important to acknowledge and to center our personal focus around. And by virtue of that, in regard to Chenille's platform and her experience with representation in the AMS and diversity, we just kind of would like to get your insight and your experience in that realm in the AMS elections and what you've seen.
Yeah, definitely. So just going off of demographics, so campus is right now approximately 60% female, about 50% persons of Asian descent. In the last 10 years, we've had one female AMS president. We have had only two presidents of Asian descent within the last 15 years, I believe. And as for the entire executive of the AMS, the elected executive, this last year is the first time in 10 years that there's been a female majority on the executive, which is ridiculous, I think, considering we do make up the majority of campus. On top of that, if you just take the average of the last 10 years, women have basically made up 32% of positions, elected positions. So that's about a third.
Yeah.
Which is, like I just said, ridiculous when we almost make up two-thirds of campus.
For sure.
Also, I don't believe we've ever had an AMS president who has a disability, who is trans, and we've only had one woman of color AMS president in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carolyn Wong, who I talked to, and she's pretty great. But yeah, so there's a major lack of diversity and representation in the AMS government, and I think this is something that the upcoming government needs to really work on. So hopefully I'm a part of that, but if I'm not, then I encourage basically my only opponent to really focus on that. But just like looking, for example, so like the last 10 years, no slates have been allowed. And that's something that a lot of people think have really contributed to the lack of diversity. Now, what a slate is basically it's almost like a party. It's people running together. 10 years ago, slates were allowed. And so, say, like 20 years ago, for 10 years, there were 6 AMS female presidents. And women made up almost 60% of the executive on average for 10 years. And then, you know, 10 years ago, slates were outlawed or banned.
Yeah.
So there's been speculation about, like, if we bring slates back, will that increase representation and diversity? Because people running alone, it can be quite hard, and so that means if you've got a lot of privilege, you're probably going to win. If you've got a lot of money, if you've got a lot of connections,
yeah,
you're much more likely to come out on top.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's something that probably needs to be looked at. Because we are a diverse campus, and I think that diversity is a huge asset. This has been proven on corporate boards, governments, whatever. The more diversity you have on a board, the better it performs. The better the company performs, the better the government performs, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's in everyone's interest to make the AMS more accessible for persons who don't have a lot of privilege and more diverse and more, you know, representing of our campus population. And I think a really good way to do that would be to actually start, I don't know, including a pamphlet, for example, for first years, saying exactly what the AMS government is, how to get involved, and what the university power structure is, so that people understand how this whole system works.
Mm-hmm. So right now, is there a source in which you can direct people to look in order to understand the structure of the AMS? And
unfortunately, not really. I found an old copy, a discontinued copy, of a graduate student society handbook from 2008, which had a diagram of the university power mm-hmm. structure. I haven't found that anywhere else. So I think that's something they could post on the AMS's website.
It's cool. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also you can kind of do your own research, and though a diagram obviously is the most accessible, definitely there is room on the website to go and do your own research for that. Okay, well, awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the air.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So everybody out there, go get your voting hats on.
I don't know
if that's what people do, but go on to the AMS Elections website.
Mm-hmm.
And just take 5 minutes and just quickly, just take your time and be thoughtful, obviously, but...
Just do it.
Yeah. You're living in a democratic society.
Things like the bus pass and, different events that happen on campus. People canvassing against the university for tuition fee
mm-hmm.
increases. Like, there's so many things that the AMS does. All of the food service outlets in the sub, the new sub, all of these things related to the AMS, So
it affects you.
Our campus will look very... Even if you think it doesn't,
it actually does.
Yeah. So the campus would look really different without it. So you should... think about that. All right, we're gonna play some more music.
Yay.
And then we will be back here on Femme Concept. We're gonna listen to the track Building Away by the band Okay Vancouver Okay.
Of the mind, challenge of the times, challenge of the heart. You'd better get a start, the clouds will soon depart, or the way she looks at me. She'll use hand saws and I'll makeshift hammers, or gnaw on the trunk of the tree like the beavers do. Building away, away, away. Hot pie. Building away, away, away. Building away, away, away. Building away, 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 away. We get so behind planning fall in the springtime. We get so behind planning spring in the summer. So behind trying to outlive our mother. We get so behind trying to outlive our father. Building away, away, away. Building away, away, away. Building away, 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 away.
And we are back here on Femme Concept on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Eleanor. Myself and Erica are chatting with AMS candidates today. We had Chenille Anthony-Hale on before, and now we are joined by the lovely Ava. How is it going?
It's going super well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Would you like to tell everybody what position you have now and what you're running for and what that means?
There's a lot in common with what I'm about to say. I'm currently in the position of Vice President Administration with the AMS. And what the position is right now is 60% working on the new sub and about 30% working with all the student groups on campus, specifically clubs, and another 10% is kind of like a flex, whatever the crisis of the week is, slash philanthropy of the AMS being Chinarama, which is mostly in September, slash the art gallery, which is exciting. And I'm running for VP admin again. It's going to look a little bit different next year because the new sub is pretty much done. There's going to be 60% of flex time added for that, whoever is in the position to shape into whatever they like.
Specific to the sub?
I hope that a part of it would be community engagement through using the spaces in the sub.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not necessarily, like, it doesn't have to be you're working on the sub because the bulk of the project is done at this point. You're not so much worrying about the construction and completion and opening and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And so you spend a lot of your time this year working with clubs on campus, and you're looking to continue to do that, correct?
Absolutely. So if reelected, I would be very excited about taking all the services we have to clubs and expanding them. Firstly, through the club's Resource and Sustainability Center, I feel like we could bring in a lot of services that would make things that clubs do anyways a lot quicker and easier,
mm-hmm.
which would free up their time to do more or do better.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I'd like to introduce a whole slew of optional monthly workshops for clubs.
Nice.
Things like professional development in terms of like team bonding, how to manage your time and deal with like that crisis when your event is falling apart on the day of, how to get more sponsorship so they'll have bigger budgets to work with and
cool.
they'll be able to give more services to their members.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Make things a little bit more well, I don't want to say relevant, but give people a bit more of a real world experience out of the club that they're involved with on campus.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Cool. Right. So, Erica and I mentioned this earlier, but voting, it's almost 2:00. We got about 10 minutes of the show left. Voting stays open for another 3 hours. So if you haven't voted yet, go do it.
Go do it up.
Erica's going to do it.
I'm going to do it. It's going to be great. It's going to take me like 5-10 minutes to be chilling. I'm going to do my position, my role as a Democratic citizen and
mm-hmm.
a student of this university
mm-hmm.
and vote it up.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit earlier about why it matters that people vote in the AMS elections, and I'm sure you could probably go on forever about
Ooh.
This. But are there any specific like reasons that you would want to point to or... you know, things maybe that people don't realize the AMS does for them?
Absolutely. I'll start off with why it's really important specifically for the AMS elections on UBC campus for students to vote. Compared to some other student societies across Canada, it's really easy over here. It takes 5 minutes. It's online. You don't have to show up in person
mm-hmm.
and have your ID checked and fill out a paper ballot.
And
you could literally vote from absolutely anywhere, even if you're on exchange and you want to read the platforms. And the reason I think it's important for people to vote, not just because of how easy it is, but also because the less students engage with the AMS, the less the AMS is able to properly represent them and do a decent job of filling up that other 50%. So it's 50% students being interested in engaging with the AMS, and it's the other 50% is filled by the AMS and its efforts to do outreach. And I think that it's really important for the student body to kind of pick their favorite candidate, see who represents their values the most, and just take that 5 minutes and
mm-hmm.
exercise their democratic right.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Could not have put it better myself.
And that's why we leave it up to you, and that's why we vote for you.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's really fantastic that you're running again, and I mean, the amount of time that you won't have to spend learning the job is really nice because you already know it. And I mean, you've done lots of stuff with CITR already this year, and you really actually involved yourself, which is not necessarily the case with other people that we've had in our board and stuff in the past. So it's been really cool to see the way you actually engage with the clubs and not just... there's a difference between putting your name on things and, like, having your face out there and then actually showing up to the things, so...
Eleanor, you make me blush. I am now the color of a beet.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it's really cool to see someone advocating for students being more active on campus and kind of making more of a social life here, right? Because we spend so much time here, right? Mm-hmm. We might as well...
A little bit.
Yeah.
Just a few years, just a few hours.
Blood, sweat, and tears at this university. And there was a few things you were involved with like that to do that this year, correct?
Things involved in terms of...
Just increasing, like, the student...
engagement?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually if I was to put my platform for next year under, like, one umbrella statement, it would be... bringing back the fun and focusing on engagement even more so than this year. Mm-hmm. This year, we brought back a few events like the SAC Wine and Cheese, and we started the SAC Tea Parties, and they were both kind of events where we, as the central AMS, put together a few workshops and informational sessions that were super short for clubs to come in. We gave them some wine and cheese, we gave them some tea, and just kind of got them meeting each other, which I think is huge. The more we have student groups working together, the easier it is for them to run that one event.
Totally.
And also, the more people you have meeting each other and the more people you have being engaged in a broader scope than what would have been just the one club putting on their one event. And I really think that next year, with the completion of the new sub, it's going to be a lot more interesting in terms of having all that much extra time and using the new space to get students more engaged and really empower student groups to do bigger and think bigger.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Oh, the sub. So exciting. It's going to be open so soon. CITR is very excited. We're going to have
a brand new...
It's
all going to change.
Everything's going to change, but it's going to change for the good.
It will.
Change is hard, but it's necessary. But hopefully not in your case.
Oh.
All right. Any final comments?
I would like to thank you both for having me on your wonderful show, Femme Concept. Shout out to you both and CITR, I guess. If there's one last thing I'll say, it's that there's literally 2 hours and 55 minutes left to vote. And it's super easy. 2 minutes online. You can Google AMS elections and the link will pop up. I'm Ava, and thanks for having me.
Awesome. All right, we're going to hear a track from Girl Pool called Ideal World, and then we are almost out of time, but we'll probably come back for, like, one more second to tell you to have a good weekend. Okay, this is Ideal World by Girl Pool.
Thank you. all right, femme concept has come to an adjourn. Just kidding, I don't know if that's the actual
It's word. Being adjourned.
Is being
is
adjourned.
Is adjourned the right word?
We need to do our homework, clearly.
It's okay, we had a lot of other things on our plates today.
We totally did. Hope everybody enjoyed our interviews of Chenille and Ava and had their kind of rundown on their platforms and what they're going for the AMS election. So as we said before, and we repeatedly say, please just go vote. That would be great. Mm-hmm. And exercise your right as a democratic citizen. We are going to close our show today with tell me, Eleanor.
A song from Other Jesus, because they are playing tomorrow night
at Avenue.
Yes, with Weed and Mother Tongue and Hick. And I think that is it. It's like kind of a tour kickoff. I'm not really sure, but
you should go and find out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a good one. And lots of other cool stuff happening this weekend and next week. We played some OK Vancouver OK before, and they're playing on Monday night at Thor's Palace, along with the band Badlands from LA. That should be a really good show, so you should check that out. And then one of the other songs we played was a song called Love Trap by...